Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Marks and Reese, we are back at 4 o'clock. It is the two-year anniversary of the NFC Championship game, and the montage with Merrill and Mike and all the game highlights and everything. We'll play that for you coming up at 4 o'clock and another chance to win $1,000. Jack had put in our daily email that he believes Patrick Robinson interception, if that doesn't happen, the game doesn't turn that way, and maybe it's a different game.
Because the Vikings were up 7-0 at that
they
point.
Were. They were. And had the ball.
They
yeah.
had the ball. Yeah, they just marched down the field to make it 7-0. If that huge momentum swing doesn't happen,
it's possible.
We have no idea how that game turns. It ended up being 38-7, and obviously
no, but you're right. It had such a different feel. It had the here we go again feel to it, like another NFC Championship game, another loss.
Yeah, and it, since it was a nail biter against the Falcons, people were already nervous.
Yeah, you didn't feel great about it.
Yeah, that
the
wasn't
game.
A blowout game.
No,
and everybody was
picking
where everybody was picking the Vikings.
Yep.
Right? And so for them to march down the opening drive of the game, and then the Eagles.
Well, didn't they run? They were running in short passes to the one running back. He ended up going to the 49ers and he got hurt. What's
oh yeah,
his name?
McKinnon.
Yeah, Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah.
But they were, I mean, it did not look good early.
Yeah.
I know how I felt. And then the pick six totally changed the game. And that was it.
They did. It was party after that.
A stress-free NFC Championship game was not something I was expecting.
Like that. No, that was fun.
I was dancing at halftime.
Yeah, you knew it. No, you did.
Oh,
you knew
man.
It.
High-fiving everybody.
But wasn't that there was?
They're like, man, the game's not over with. I said, yeah, it is.
No, I was saying the same thing.
I'm like, yeah, this game is over with.
And you remember the big play in the second half. Minnesota was driving, and Derek Barnett made a play where the end didn't
strip
get
fumble.
Over to block him.
Yep.
Strip fumble. Chris Long, I think, recovered it. And that was when it was. That's where I started.
That's when we really started dancing.
Well, the flea flicker out of half.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Everything started happening then.
The flea flicker, that's right. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to hear this at 4 o'clock. It's going to be great. All right, let's go back to the phones. We have Prince listening on the radio.com app down in Charlotte, North Carolina. Prince.
Hey, Johnny Marks. Hey. I got you, buddy. You the quarterback of the Don't Cheer for Andy Reid, and I'm the left tackle, and I done pulled out the stone tablets. I got Ike Reese scout report. He won't get past me, bro. I got you.
All right, go for it.
All right, the reason why, let me tell you something. I don't have an issue with Andy Reid. The issue is with, like you said, Johnny, the people around Andy Reid. Now I got Mr. Number 5 will always report you, tweeting more about Andy Reid than he did about the Eagles when we won. It's the whole ambiance around it. You would think that the Eagles is in the Super Bowl. Like, why, is this the Andy Reid show? Like, who cares? Like, go get your title, Andy. Be happy. Eat all the barbecue you can. But don't wave your finger at me because I'm not – taking his championship as one of our own. It's not ours. It's Andy's. Mm-hmm. He was here. He didn't get it done. He's gone. Bless him. But we're not about to throw a parade for him. So
I don't
get that part.
Well, because some of us, Prince, we actually enjoyed Andy Reid being our coach here. Right? So there are some fans who do have an appreciation for Andy Reid, and they want to see him win the Super Bowl. Especially since the Eagles have won the Super Bowl. Now, I get it for those that are like yourself who don't necessarily feel an attachment to Andy Reid. So you may not like the fact that some people are waving their fingers like I am at John and calling him a bad guy.
I'm a bad person.
A bad person because he doesn't want to root for him. But the fact of the matter is you should be rooting for him. If you're a diehard Eagles fan, you should be rooting for Andy Reid. How can you not be rooting for Andy Reid? He is a part of the Philadelphia Eagles. Come on, Prince. You know this.
Ike, what happened, though? We used to be known as the 700-level knuckleheads. When did we become so soft?
Man, when we won a Super Bowl 2 years ago, Prince, we won.
He's right. By the way, he's right. He's right, Prince. It made it soft.
You're using a swim move on me. I can't block him. I don't know.
Prince, he's right, because if the Super Bowl didn't happen, there's nobody
rooting for Andy to win before Philadelphia.
Yeah. Nobody.
Oh, yeah, no doubt it would be. And just one quick Sixer point.
Yeah.
I think we just, number one, if we get Derrick Rose, I'm with the other caller. Who's going to coach these people? Because long as Brett Brown will probably still play Neto and do DHOs with Derrick Rose. I'm all about this. I'm not getting rid of my $280 million investments because of the coach. I'm going to find me a coach that's going to make it work, and then I'll think about moving Ben. It's a lot of coaches on the sideline.
I'm with you.
That's salivating the coach of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. So,
don't get me wrong, Prince. Day. Yeah, appreciate the call. This is a radio topic. The Sixers aren't trading Ben Simmons.
No. No, not for what they would likely get in return.
Dude, Joshua Harris is a businessman. The Sixers sell out.
There's some good business going on with the Sixers.
Exactly. He's not going to trade away Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. He's not.
All right.
This is a radio topic for us. And this is going to be something that fans will always discuss until the Sixers win a championship.
Right. In 2 years, it probably isn't just a radio topic. It's something.
Right.
If
it may
they
be
haven't
a little,
yeah, if they
right.
haven't had success,
right.
then I think it becomes more
right.
of a Sixers topic.
I agree.
All right.
I
so, agree. So Ike, and we'll get back to the phones. Turning back to the offensive coordinator conversation, what gives? Why do you think that? And I think there's different reasons for different guys, but Graham Harrell, the young offensive coordinator of USC, apparently he decided to go back. By the way, I still haven't seen where it said that he made the decision to go back. But anyway, he will not be the Eagles offensive coordinator. We've heard about a number of names. Either they're not interested or they're not given permission to do it in Kafka's case. But this feels like it feels like that it could be an issue, and it's concerning.
Yeah, that's the thing that at first I wasn't, right? And then I guess the longer this thing has gone on and the more these guys, the Baltimore Ravens, when James Urban and Bobby Engram, you know, decided they're going to go back to Baltimore and they not even going to interview for the job here and no more interest in it, I'm starting to think, I'm like,
that was a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah, and then with this candidate, that candidate, this candidate, that candidate, is the job not attractive? And why isn't it attractive? You have, first of all, you got a franchise quarterback that's 26, 27 years old in Carson Wentz. You got some good young pieces on the offensive side of the ball. So it's not as if, from a personnel standpoint, this isn't an attractive job for an offensive coordinator. / quarterbacks coach or whatever you want to call it, right? You would think someone would be chomping at the bit to come and work with this offense, right? The organization has tons of money under the salary cap. So they're going to be they got a nice they got 10 draft picks. So they're going to have the ability to add even more weapons on the offensive side of the ball. So there's all these things that make being an offensive coordinator here an attractive job. It's not like you have worthless pieces to work with and it's not an attractive job. This is an organization that's gone to the playoffs for 3 straight years. More than likely, you're going to be in a hunt to be in the playoffs next year. So it's a job that should be seen as a stepping stone to the next opportunity to possibly being a head coach.
Absolutely.
So why wouldn't someone be jumping at the opportunity to come here and coach?
Why? And the obvious dot connecting is that Jeffrey Lurie went over
Things. Either people want to call plays and don't want to work under Doug Peterson, right? If they can't call plays,
but
that's one.
But I think that's a part of it. But from a quarterback's coach conversation, like, why
would
Press
Taylor
you?
Is the quarterback's coach?
Well,
right
but
now.
But James Urban in Baltimore, like that, I don't care. Like that's an obvious promotion. That's an obvious. Now you're offensive coordinator. You weren't calling plays down there either.
That's true.
But that's a promotion. Graham Harrell with USC. He's making $1.5 million, Jack told me, at USC, and he is calling plays there. It's also an unsettled situation. I'm surprised that coach still has a job. I mean, he could be on the street next year. It has to be, at least in part, and I'm not going to say, oh, these guys don't want to coach Carson Wentz, but I think it has to be, at least in part, that they've
– No, that's not the case.
They've moved on from position coaches a lot recently, and the fact that Jeffrey Lurie, at least it's apparent to people, or they think it, or reportedly, he went over Doug Peterson's head and he removed the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I saw – I don't know if it was Ruben Frank who tweeted this out. I think it was. But he was talking about Doug's hiring of assistant coaches since he got the job. And on the offensive side of the ball especially, like, the guys that have come and gone are the guys that he hired. Like, the guys that have remained are Chip Kelly hires. Or in Deuce Staley's case, he was here from Andy. So Deuce has been here since Andy, through Chip, and now Doug. The other guys on the offensive side of the ball, Jeff Stoutland was here with Chip.
Right.
Dave Phipp was here with Chip. The other coaches are Doug's hires, and they've come and gone. The guys that have come and gone have been Doug coaches.
Yep. Yeah, no, the guys that have been here were here before Doug.
Yeah.
And they're probably Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman guys and not Doug guys. But, like, so for instance –
Well, the other two are very good coaches, too.
Yeah, no, they're highly regarded.
Yes.
But, like, if you're a guy like James Urban, who is the offensive coordinator with the Ravens, I think he looks at it and says, you know, like, hey, listen, yeah, it's a promotion to be the OC, but I'm in a really good situation here, and I could be out of a job next year. And now I'm not a quarterback's coach for Lamar Jackson and everything else. So I would say that people are hesitant to take the job.
That's pretty clear. And we're just trying to figure out why they seem to be hesitant. And I just wonder if there is a sneaky feeling around the league. And believe me, coaches, they all have agents. They all talk. So,
well, and a lot of them have the same agent.
Exactly.
Jimmy Sexton is the guy.
Or the real big power player is
Is it not Jimmy Sexton anymore?
No, it's Andy's guy.
Yeah, that's
guy.
Who I thought it. Yeah, no, because it's Doug's guy, it's Andy's guy.
Oh, it's half the damn league.
Yeah, exactly.
Half the league, which is why Andy has so much power in his league.
You're right.
Yeah, it's why he has so much power in his league. I can't think of his agent's name, but he's a well-known agent, especially with coaches, and a lot of coaches have hired him to be their agent around the league. So I say that to say that
Bob Lamont,
that's who it is, Bob Lamont. I say that to say that there can always be conversations behind the scenes with people, with these
Happen
coaches
all the time.
Talking to each other. And I'm just wondering why this job doesn't appear to be an attractive job that people would be jumping at the opportunity to take.
I mean, bottom line is they're not, right?
Right.
We look at this job and we say, this is a great job to have. If the offense looks good next year and you're the OC, even if you're not calling plays.
Yeah, Frank Wright got a job, not calling plays. So the calling plays part doesn't fly with me.
Matt Nagy got a job not calling plays. Eric Bieniemy will get a job
not calling plays.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. All right, back to the phones. Ray in Morristown, New Jersey. Ray, how are you?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Ray.
What's up, Ray?
How you doing, buddy?
Listen, guys. And, Ike, let me just say this. For every reason that you said the position of offensive coordinator here in Philly would be, I'm going to say it's not.
Okay.
And we have to understand something as fans. People that do this job every day, you're a professional in what you do. I'm a professional in what I do, and I think I'm an expert at what I do. People that are in the football world, they know, they have connections, they talk. I'm sure these other coordinators across the league have a good insight as to what's going on in Philadelphia, especially if they're interested in a position. Mm-hmm. We don't know that these guys have, hey, this was going on in the locker room situation. This was going on in the locker room with Carson Wentz situation and these other players. Just some of the inside scoop on a position, just like I have connections in my position, in my field of interest. When I'm going for an interview, I can talk to certain people and say, hey, what's this boss like? Oh, man, you don't want to work for him. He's a, you know, such and such. So I'm saying something going on here with the Eagles. Either the Eagles are some of the most inept front office people in the world to have fired a guy before they had somebody in mind, or they have a plan in place for somebody that, you know, is still playing in the playoffs, something that they haven't revealed yet. But, you know, as far
that's
as
not
being
the,
a destiny.
Ray, it's only two teams left, Ray.
Well, what's your explanation? I mean, that's what I said 2 weeks ago when you still had some – but now they still haven't hired anybody. So it's either what you said, that this is not an attractive destination, or they have a plan that we just don't know about. And I'm saying I believe it's probably not as attractive destination as people want to think it is.
Right.
Just because of some of the issues that you posed.
Yeah, no,
I think you may be right. There are questions.
Yeah.
I think there are questions on the offense. I think there are questions about who cares. Like you said, there are tons of cities out there where the offensive coordinator doesn't call the play, the head coach calls the play. So I don't think that's it. I think there's other things going on in the works. I don't know that Jeff Lurie, we still don't know this for a fact, that he fired the coordinator. I'm sure every coordinator out there has a position, and they feel like, you know, at the behest of the head coach, the general manager, all three of those positions, from the owner down to the head coach, you know, there's a pecking order there. I mean, you could be fired at any point in time.
Right.
The head coach might be directly involved in it, or all three individuals may sit down and have a round table and say, hey, we got to go in a different direction. And, you know, that happens all the way from the owner to the GM and even the head coach, because at some point the head coach is on the chopping block and may have to go.
Yeah.
No job is secure forever.
Listen, I agree. And that last little line you said may be a reason why the job isn't as attractive, because they may feel there isn't job security. Like James Urban may have felt, why have more job security in Baltimore?
No, I think that's because the guys they're hiring, like Mike Shula, for instance, who is an unemployed offensive coordinator, he would take his job in a second because he wants the job.
Yes.
The guys that they're interviewing are in good spots right now, like James Urban, who says, hey, I could be offensive coordinator. I could be out of a job next year.
Right.
Because if the offense doesn't look good for whatever reason,
now who you
blaming? He's the one that he's going to be blamed.
Yeah.
Or he could be blamed. Now he's out of a job. So now he's not in Baltimore as the heir apparent to be the offensive coordinator down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what it is. Jim Caldwell, to me, so the story that comes out today, Jim Caldwell, he was employed by the Dolphins. He was quarterback's coach. He had some medical issues that are now resolved.
Mm-hmm.
But he is now no longer employed by the Dolphins. It is thought that they were interviewing him. It makes too much sense. That's who you want. That's who I want. And I hope that now they get this done. I thought it was interesting that news came out today after all these other candidates were now not being the Eagles' offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe his camp's putting that out there to let the Eagles know, like, hey, listen, we're still here.
Yeah.
And he wants to work.
I got to imagine they know all this stuff. They obviously haven't gotten the guy that they wanted. That's obvious to me. Yes. There's no way you fire your OC after making the playoffs if you don't have somebody in mind. They must have had someone in mind that they wanted.
Or
what, do you just fire your offensive coordinator without a plan?
Or yeah.
No, that doesn't make sense.
But stick with me for a second, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they were ready to fire him at that point. But when Doug came out and said, oh, absolutely, they'll be back, they more or less at that point said, well, now we have to let him go.
Why?
Well, because Doug just said, yes, they're coming back. And then Howie and Jeffrey Lurie said, well, they're not coming back. Because weren't they reportedly told right after that press conference that that he was not coming back?
No, I'm with you. No, my point is that why would you fire your guys if you don't have somebody in mind that you want to hire? Like you, I think most people are okay that they fired Mike Groh, right? I think most people around here yelling about
yes.
Mike Groh should be fired. Okay, they fired Mike Groh. Okay, well, what's the replacement plan?
No,
what's the plan here now?
Agreed with you that you should. It should be more than, like, for the last 2 months, you should be figuring out if we move on from Mike Rowe.
Can I get a list? Yeah, can I get a
list?
Who
are we targeting, right?
Yeah, give me a list of guys that you want, and then you target the guys. That's what I'm saying. They must have had a guy in mind, and the guy didn't want the job or something.
Unless.
Hey, he was sitting here 3 weeks after the season is over.
Unless Jeffrey Lurie is playing owner by the seat of his pants. Unless Jeffrey Lurie said, no, I don't care. We'll find somebody. Where the Eagles that won the Super Bowl in 2017, and what he found was that it wasn't as attractive of a job as he thought it was.
See, this can't be by the seat of your pants.
Oh, I think it can be.
If you believe a report from Chris Mortensen that back in early December,
there are going to be big changes.
That there were going to be changes. Like, this isn't by the seat of your pants. This is you had already made up your mind what you were going to do when the Eagles were sitting at 5-7.
Yeah, but making up your mind.
After losing to Miami. Well, once you decide you're going to fire people, then you should start working on a list.
So who's the target?
What do you mean?
So who did they target, right?
Like, I don't know.
If what you're saying is true and it makes sense, then who did they miss out on that it didn't get reported? See, at this point, I'm surprised the Eagles aren't leaking information, even if it's phony information, to try to make things look differently or try to not make them look bad. Because that's essentially right now. Now it looks like no one wants the job. So I'm waiting for counter information to be put out there to what's going on that puts the Eagles in a positive light. Because you would agree right now it doesn't look great for the Eagles that people are turning down this job. It looks like there's a potential problem inside the organization.
It does. It looks like.
Should be countered with propaganda.
Put it like this. It looks like the job isn't an attractive job. Whether there's a problem in the organization or not, it doesn't look like everybody is lining up to take this job.
That can't be argued.
Like that is very clear.
Because honestly, I don't believe that there's really a problem in the organization. I don't believe that. I think this is a very attractive job, and I personally think people are making a mistake not taking this job. That's what I believe. But like you said, there's obviously conversation going on somewhere that people are saying, I don't know about this. Let's go to back to the phones. Mario in San Francisco. Hi, Mario.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing?
Mario, how are you?
I'm fine. What's up, Mario? I'm fine. Getting ready for the Super Bowl. Getting ready for the Super Bowl there. I'm heading down there.
Oh, you're going? Thursday. Oh, that's right. That's right. All right. But you're a 49ers fan too, right? Yes, sir.
I'm an Eagles fan, but I live in San Francisco. You know the deal. Right, three things real quick, guys.
Well, hold on though.
I gotta get back on you about something.
Go ahead on the
T.O. situation. Uh-huh. A lot of people didn't bring this up. Remember when T.O. was vying for a contract, Donovan McNabb said he asked Donovan to go in to push for him to get the new contract, and he said he didn't do that. He didn't do that. But yet, when Brian Westbrook was vying for a new contract a few weeks later, he went in there and vouched for Brian Westbrook to get a contract. That's when T.O.
Yeah.
really went off.
Yeah.
This is a fact.
I'm with you.
So before everybody said, T.O. went crazy. No. T.O. was pissed off at Donovan more than he was pissed off at Andy. Because Donovan should have never opened up his mouth and said that.
Yeah,
that
but here's the problem though, Mario. And listen, T.O. made Donovan a target. That was T.O. Donovan hadn't came out and said anything about T.O. T.O. made Donovan a target. So that became a big thing with him because he felt like Donovan was the guy in the organization that carried the most weight. So it was almost like, well, since they won't listen to me, you go speak up for me. And would it have been nice had Donovan gone and done that? Sure it would have. It also would have been nice had they not had friction 6 months earlier during the season that no one knew about, right, that no one knew about except for us on the team. So it's ultimately, we lost as fans, as Eagles fans. Like, T.O. still went on to be a Hall of Fame football player.
The team lost. The organization
lost. That's what I mean. We lost, yes. We lost.
And Andy went to the buffet. What can we say?
Yeah, but Andy's still going to go to the Hall of Fame, and he's probably going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I love it that 16 years later, 15 years later, we're still debating it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Well, it's one of those things that It's one of those.
As long as we're alive,
it's one of those
what
ifs.
Yeah, it'll
always be a what if.
Yeah, 2006. What happens if T.O.'s under contract?
Yeah,
it'll
always
he comes
be a
back.
What if. Yeah.
Mm.
Or if he just finished his career as an Eagle.
Yeah. I mean,
then he and Donovan would be in the Hall of Fame.
Let's check in on Twitter. You know what, Jack? It's interesting because we have a lot of votes, but we have a lot of responses too. Which is you get a lot of votes sometimes, you don't get a lot of responses. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong for not rooting for Andy to win the Super Bowl? Yes or no? And right now it's 60-40. It's been pretty strong all day. 60% say yes. I'm a bad person.
Well, you got a lot of people in your corner. 40%.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah,
actually. Yeah, 60-40. So vote at Mark's Reese WIP. It's brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, Route 309 in Montgomeryville, online, marks-jewelers.com. If you're getting engaged, and I just got an email from a listener that said, hey, I'm getting engaged, can you hook me up at Mark's? And I said, yeah, I'll connect you with my guy up there. Marks-jewelers.com, that's the place to go to get engaged in 2020. That's all right. I'm standing strong. I'm standing strong with this Andy stuff. All right? It's ridiculous. 888-729-9494. So, like, here's what we have coming up. We have your chance to win $1,000. And then 2 years ago today, it was the NFC Championship game. You will relive that moment with the montage of Merrill and Mike and everything else. That is coming up right after this. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, if you're looking for your next vehicle but don't want a big price tag, my friends over at Elite Acura have you covered. Stop in and walk their entire lot complete with certified pre-owned Acuras that will fit your needs and your budget. Now, many of Elite's certified pre-owned Acuras had only one owner and also have low mileage. Plus, all of their vehicles must pass a comprehensive 182-point inspection. Their factory-trained technicians inspect everything inside and out, so you'll always get a vehicle that upholds Acura standards. Now, Elite has dozens of certified pre-owned Acuras. They're sure to have one for you. Now, I love driving my MDX and drive home the Acura you want at the price you want tonight. Experience the difference an exceptionally priced brand-new Acura can make from Elite Acura, home of the Elite Advantage on Route 73 North in Maple Shade. Just look for the giant billboard. You can't miss it. Shop their certified pre-owned and entire...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.